You know, we don't get to sing Christmas hymns very often, do we? There's approximately one Sunday in Christmas most of the time. Sometimes we get lucky and we get two, and that's only if Christmas falls on a Sunday. Well, today we're going to sing some hymns from the Christmas selection from the Birth of Christ section in your hymnal. Hopefully you've had a chance to look at those. If you haven't, I promise I won't be offended if you take a little minute while we're doing, while I'm preaching, and look and find your favorite one. That'll perfectly okay. Just don't do it while I'm reading the Bible. Deal? But I want to call your attention to that because I want you to get to sing, you know, whatever your favorite carol is. I guess we could sing Christmas hymns all year. Joy to the World was originally written about the return of Christ, not the Christmas season. But just to kind of remind you to be thinking ahead about which Christmas hymn is your favorite. A reading from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossian church, beginning with verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you this story that I hope will be helpful. I hope it'll be funny, but I hope it'll be helpful. My family are hunters. This is what we do. It's not a sport. It's just what we do. I don't know any other way to explain it. If your family's like that, then you understand. My dad always did this thing where if he saw a dove flying somewhere, he would point at it like his arm was an imaginary shotgun barrel. You ever seen somebody do that? And he would go, doof, and make a shotgun sound like he was shooting the dove, you know? And he'd say, I got that one, or something like that. And my brother and I always found that pretty fascinating. I mean, that's a fascinating thing, right? No? Yes? No? I think it's fascinating. To pretend something is happening has power, right? To suggest within yourself that something is happening has power. I'll give you an example of how much power that had. After seeing that for years and years and years and years and years, my brother and I started doing it. Now, if you've ever been close to a parent, you know that you can see in yourselves, especially when you become adult, you have that moment where you think, I'm becoming my mother. Or I'm becoming my father, right? You've all experienced that. Well, one day, a robin flew across the road in front of the car my brother and I were riding in. And my brother stuck out his arm and went, doom, and shot the robin. And I looked at him and I said, what'd you shoot that for? See how that happened? This habit, this thing that we watch, this imagination, this thing that we let live in our mind that we were constantly doing took root in us and informed how we thought about our time together and everything that we did. Paul wants us to develop that about Jesus. To develop a deep set of information in ourselves about what Jesus has done for us so that it results in our putting love on like we would put on a coat. Did you catch that? Put on love. It's the same way he would have described putting on an outer garment. Anybody ever been cold and put a coat on? Does the coat instantly make you warmer? No. It blocks heat. And you put it on and eventually you feel your whole insides warm, right? And the more heat it blocks, the warmer you feel. And so Paul is telling us to put on love, but he also tells us to put on thankfulness and gratitude to the point that they become a habit, a way of living. They become something so deeply ingrained that without even thinking about it, you might throw up your arm and shoot a robin. Or you might be thankful or filled with gratitude because of the mercies you see in the world every day. Because of some goodness you experience in another person. You know, gratitude simply means to affirm goodness. To look at something and say, this is good, whether it's good for someone else or for you, and then to give thanks for it. Gratitude is the quality of being thankful. It's a beautiful thing that Paul is calling us to. And if you've ever read the book of Colossians, then you know that the reason he's calling us to that is because he would remind us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That Jesus has made it possible for all of us to be forgiven for everything we've ever done that ever felt like something we shouldn't have done. That Jesus has come to give us new life and to top it all off. To refine us so that we can reflect God's glory in the world. So that once again, people can see God's image in us. You heard that sermon the morning when the snow fell, right? When we were sleeted out. If you haven't heard that, go online. Go to our website. The bottom right corner, there's a button that says, listen to sermons. Listen to the sermon from the snow day. And hear about how the prophet talked about us being refined like a gold bar or a silver bar. Because the way that the refiner knew that his work was done was when his own image was reflected in the metal. Likewise, as we give thanks, as we live lives of thankfulness, as we cover ourselves with love like we would put on a coat, we're being refined and changed so that God is visible in us. Because our lives become colored by our thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. People can see the magnitude of what Christ has done for us in us. Paul would have us not forget that. What does that have to do with getting motivated? I noticed the other day that the weight loss commercials have ramped up on TV. Y'all noticed that yet? They know y'all been eating sugar cookies. There's a new year coming, isn't there? The calendar's about to flip on us. And for many people, they'll start thinking about resolutions and how they can be a better person on January 1st, but they're going to stick with what they are till December 31st. Make no mistake, right? We'll change that the next day. Well, what's wrong with now? That's the kind of the question Paul would ask of that from this text. What's wrong with now? What's wrong with right now putting on a new coat, putting on a new self, putting on love and thankfulness and gratitude and let your life be colored by those? If you want to be motivated in this life, stop thinking about what you can get out of this life. And start thinking about how you can let Christ be visible in you in every circumstance of your life. If you hate your job, do it for Jesus. If you don't like hanging out with your relatives, do it for Jesus. Do it in Jesus' name. If you don't like your boss, love them in the name of Christ. If you don't like your parents or your children or your nephews or whoever it is that got on your nerves Christmas Eve night, love them in the name of Jesus. Do it all in the name of Jesus. Whatever burden comes to you, something you don't want to do, something you have to do, something you wouldn't choose to do, something that's going to hurt your feelings, it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you time thinking, whatever it is, some kind of burden is coming down the track towards you. How can you do it? You can be thankful for what God has done for you. You can have gratitude for what God has done for you, and you can do whatever that hard thing it is, whatever it is, you can do it in the name of Jesus. You can do it for Christ so that Christ can be seen in you. People notice when you love the unlovable. People notice when you give attention to other people who are ignored. If you want deep motivation for 2019, if you want the deepest of motivations to see your life changed, if you want the deepest of motivations to be a different person in the new year, then follow Paul's advice. Put on the cloak of love. Put on the new clothes. Put on the clothing that Christ has given to you. Put on love. Clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility, meekness and patience. It's a garment that He freely offers to you. Bear with other people. If you've done something to hurt somebody, go to them and ask for forgiveness. And likewise, if someone has hurt you, go to them to offer forgiveness. Clothe yourselves in love, he says. I would think that if we imagined our lives as if we were truly allowing ourselves to be clothed with love and held that image up against what we know we are, it will help us see those ways that we can improve. It'll help us see those ways that we can be more like Christ. And the good news that Paul offers us is that we can be more like Christ. Right before this text, right in one of the preceding verses, he says that God is remaking us in the image of Christ, in the image of our Creator. So if you want motivation for the new year, for all the hard things you have in front of us, for some task that you've been called to, for something that you don't want to do, consider what it would look like to do it in thankfulness and gratitude for what Christ has done for you. Because then you will truly be doing it in Jesus' name. Some people claim that the church shouldn't teach that we're all going to suffer. But even Jesus told his disciples they would suffer because of his name. There may be some hard thing in front of us, in front of you. Do it for Christ. In your heart, be thankful and have gratitude for what he's done for you. And it will change your motivation for everything else you do in life. And people will notice. And you, dear ones, will be a witness to the difference that knowing Jesus makes. Amen.